Warning, this podcast contains bad words and stories about drugs and sex and overthrowing the government. Proceed with caution. Okay. Thank you. And now on to our show. Wake up, brother, we got nothing to do. Let's go outside, just me and you, and build a fort. We'll pack a lunch, won't be home till after dark. Then after dinner we can sneak back out. You know that high school girl I've been telling you about? Well, she gets undressed about a quarter to nine, and we can watch her do it from the big old pine next door. She got a room on the second floor. Well, looks like another fucked up day in paradise.
Episode 015 of the Daughter of Godcast. Dan Kelly here again with you, here in the lovely Artist House Inc. studios in beautiful Beulah, Michigan. Want to shout out to our listeners in Nigeria, China, Great Britain, and the Russian Federation, as well as Traverse City and Ann Arbor, Michigan. I see you out there listening, and I thank you so much. Today's word is polymath, or many learnings from the Latin. I prefer many likes, which would be polyphile, I suppose. I could make that word up, but it would wreak havoc with my SEO, or search engine optimization. That's a blast from the right now, because along with weekly episodes of Daughter of Godcast, I'm teaching myself how to make dog.movie more findable in the world via the polyprescient Google. Meanwhile, back in Brooklyn in 2006, post Big Boat, I made all manner of optimistic and confident predictions about how quickly I could cut the project. I had accomplished the toughest part, assembling people, places, and ideas worthy of documenting, and capturing 85 to 90% of what I set out to get. I should have enough to complete the core project. A couple, or at most, a few months of staring at screens should make up for the other 10 to 15%. But first, a vacation. Returning from Canada and getting Melanie back on a plane to Michigan, I retooled for camping and jumped on a plane myself to Arizona to meet my brothers and nephew for a few days descending into the Grand Canyon along the South Bass Trail. During the flight, a super fat guy was next to me, aggressively overflowing into my seat. He seemed to be asserting his right to be really big, and we didn't speak more than a few words to each other. I'm pretty open to diversity. But this dude was a stifling, arrogant, inescapable onslaught of meat and heat, somehow even more nightmarish in his navy blue, tent-like business suit. This was probably the most stressful flight I'd ever taken, so much so that in my eagerness to get off the plane and away from the Man Mountain, I left my laptop behind. Fortunately, the airline was able to sort this out, and the laptop was back in my hands a few days later. After we came out of the canyon, I rented a car and drove to Vegas to catch up with my excellent friend Susan Fisk, who'd moved there from Michigan a few years prior. She'd tried to help me see Vegas from a friendly perspective, but I'd attended too many Seagraphs and Sig Chi conferences to accept Vegas as anything but an energy-squandering, water-wasting, environmental disaster. I encouraged her to get out of there, then drove back to my brother and sisters in Flagstaff and caught a plane back to Brooklyn. Why did the fat guy freak me out so much? And why am I so down on Vegas? Intensity might be resonance. The big guy embodied the excess inherent in consumption and the horrific waste of resources we Americans countenance. The endless quest for satisfaction in the manipulation of external trivia, indulgence way beyond requirements, and the suffering thus triggered. I think, more to the point, Man Mountain reminded me of me, of my own overflowing arrogance. Here was a man out of control in a fundamental way. He cannot easily fit in, constantly at odds with convention. Being this bulky is not okay in the prominent culture. He must feel friction. He's not at ease, and so he's angry. I can relate. There's plenty of evolved reasons to feel compassion. He might have been sexually abused, or maybe he's got a genetic disorder. He's jangled in a way that's not his fault. And a sinkhole opens at my feet. I'm trying to find some reason not to blame him, to not judge him. How could he live like this? Maybe he didn't choose. The premise that he's fucked up is total jackal thinking. See Marshall Rosenberg. I want to cut him some slack because then I can feel less imposed upon. I can experience some relief even as I'm squashed and constricted. I can diffuse my resentment for the penny-pinching airlines constantly shrinking their seats. About 3 hours of being forced to look in the mirror. Jeff Gibbs helped me to let go of jet flying, but I think the fat man got me ready to hear Jeff's rationale. I didn't ever want to be stuck next to an angry, obese guy again. In other words, I didn't want to be stuck next to a funhouse reflection of my own shadows. Now, I'm grateful to the fat guy. Time traveling back to myself on that airplane, clearing space to breathe and stretch out. Witness energetic editorial. New insights inserted into old memories transform the now. From Danny Kelly, anything at. Subject, on the plane from AZ. Date, May 3rd, 2006. To, and loading, a boat girl at. I am flying on a big plane right now and will be arriving back in New York City tonight. I'd like to begin working on the edit very soon, next week, Would love to clear up some financials first. Thought it might be a good idea to figure out who we'd like to thank in the credits before we got too far from the project. Also, maybe you and I could debrief with an eye toward what we did right and otherwise. Kisses! Exclamation point. D. Making movies was the optimal path to follow as an artist, because I didn't have to give any of myself up. Quite the opposite. All of my interests and affinities are required for making movies. Making movies is also the most outrageous undertaking I can imagine. And as I've been hinting for a few episodes, I've learned very recently that Daughter of God has been a sort of preparation for an even brighter blooming into my affinities, a significant upgrade of my already robust imagination. Of my many likes, the process of assembling and remixing blobs of picture and sound, or editorial, got me to my first film festival, which then inspired me to start my first featurette. We preface Daughter of God's making by preparing for and getting on the big boat to acquire the core footage. So far, we've made the movie twice, according to Hitchcock. Now the third making, the one I've been most looking forward to, editorial, begins. I had the sense that the movie was pretty much in the bag, because now I was in my element. Editing was my forte. No pesky actors or crew needed, no locations. Oh wait, lawyers. Did I mention lawyers? That's a morass. We'll gently sidestep lawyers for now. Through the month of May, I kept cash flowing by documenting dance performance around the city. I worked my memberships at the Park Slope Food Co-op, practiced Tai Chi on the weekends, and I slammed together a working edit for Daughter of God. By June, a pre-release screener was ready, and I sent this to the first wave of film festivals. From Danny Kelly, anything at. Subject, hey. Date, June 5th, 2006. To, Steven Ziliax, S. Ziliax at. Yo, Steve, are you still on the planet? I want to send you money and a final contract. I've finished a rough cut and have started firing it off to festivals. I've got to clear the legal issues real quick. Please get in touch. Exclamation point. Tried leaving cell messages, ... D. Steve Ziliax had been deported, but his stuff was still scattered around the city. I retrieved all of Steve's clothes and personal gear from his friends' apartments, including a bicycle, tennis racket, and $920 in cash. I shipped everything except the bike and racket to his parents in Canada. From Dan Kelly, Nomad at Artist House. Subject, boxes launched. Date, July 18th, 2006. To Steven Ziliax, S. Ziliax at Stevie Z. Cross your fingers. 6 boxes launched today from Church Street Station. I counted 920 in cash in that wad you left. The shipping was $146, so I mailed you a check for $744 in a separate envelope. Could be 2 weeks for the boxes. Waiting to hear from Claire about the lawyer. Love and love, Dan. The racket and the bike gathered dust in my narrow hallway, biding their time. Everything has a destiny. I scouted immigration lawyers for Steve to see if we could reverse his de facto deportation. I would have funded or helped to fund the process, but his inquiries weren't promising. Speaking of lawyers, my entertainment lawyer was proving to be problematic. Let's call him Mel Torme. At first, I thought he was being thorough, but after a month or two, I realized Mel was a serious pain in the ass. He went into excruciating detail about trivia, either because he was anal, to pad out his billing, or both. One of his predilections was commenting on emails in all caps and issuing dire warnings about failure to anticipate every possible eventuality. He did move the project forward slightly, but the time I wasted replying to his capitalized emails and excessive fees made the price for Mel's help dear. Downtown Community Television in Chinatown offers workshops on all things media. And over the summer of 2006, I attended a legal workshop hosted by the incomparable attorney Ines Schmolansky. I fired Mel and hired Ines. Her experience and expertise with indie distribution is extensive, and she has a sultry Polish accent. As of today, Daughter of God has yet to be distributed, and Ines doesn't really feel like she's contributed all that much over the last 11 years. But just knowing she's on retainer feels like money in the bank. Entering film festivals was a rather audacious move. The editorial was hardly started. I gambled that at least a couple of juries would see the project's potential. The screener was a work in progress. I wanted to feed the juggernaut momentum with a preemptive strike on the festival circuit. If the long shot paid off and Daughter of God got accepted anywhere, I'd have to go into total overdrive to actually get the movie festival ready. I picked a few Oscar qualifying festivals and others that felt tasty. San Francisco International Festival, the AFI Fest, Global Peace Film Festival, Hawaii International Film Festival, Atlantic Film Festival, Sacramento International Film and Music Festival, Independent Television Festival, and the Terror Film Festival. I then started editorial again from scratch with a more methodical approach. July 15, 2006, blog. Now I'm thinking about logging, about how to do it. If I try to log every line, every nuance, by God, I'll be here forever. What I need is to select the highlights, the parts that really work well. Strong performances, clear and articulate audio, striking visuals. I've already made some choices, like dark hall versus light hall. It means going through and analyzing what's going on. There are major branches where I've created options to work with. So what this logging is all about is documenting the branches, the variety of coverage, and how each possibility might jive with the rest of the material. We can also situate ourselves someplace shady and quiet. The backyard comes to mind with that long extension cord, which is yet to be brought in. Thinking about Jerry and Joe. In July, I attended my second Hackers on Planet Earth conference, Hope Number 6, where I purchased two sets of lockpicking tools. A week or two after, my high school buddies and I rented a place near Deep Creek Lake in Maryland, and I brought an assortment of padlocks and showed their kids how to use the tools. Next to the house was a secure storage shed off limits to renters. I had it open in about 10 minutes, like magic. We checked out the owner's water toys and their shiny ATV, and then I locked the shed up again. My experience writing code and Hope conferences influenced Jerry's character. He's a hacker and a maker who's been repeatedly crushed, but insists on rebounding. He feels he's been targeted by unseen enemies, and this makes him resilient. He does not know why he's a threat or to whom, but he's decided to find out. They have given him a reason to live. July 22, 2006, Jerry monologue. I will not be neutralized. Ha, Go ahead, unseen adversary. You know that the most you can do is toss stumbling blocks in my path. But I am coming for you. I am standing for my Earth family. And whatever you're about, whatever you are, it matters not. I am coming on and coming on strong. Keep me lonely if you can. You've tried to sicken me, but you couldn't make it stick. You might jam my channels, I'll find others. Damaged, broken, crushed, I keep rising up. Watch me recover. You might steal my will, I will grow another. You might erase my memory, my family and the gods stand ready to remind me. My mind is everywhere. I am the universe. The character of Uncle Joe was inspired by John Ronson's book, Men Who Stare at Goats, which was later made into a really silly movie with George Clooney. Ronson's book documents some weird and tragic stories about unconventional military explorations and black ops of the U.S. FedGov. Weirdly, Deep Creek Lake was where some of the nasty stuff purportedly went down, like the use of LSD as a CIA interrogation aid and the murder of a government chemist who was uneasy with the research. July of 2006, there I was on Deep Creek Lake, teaching my nephews and nieces practical espionage, picking locks to see what the landlords were hiding. Spooky. If LSD was ever deployed as a weapon, I suppose the military might still maintain a stockpile. But civilian use is likely way more common, either by the very adventurous or the metaphysically inclined. The weapon has been repurposed, recontextualized. I remember as a lad, some party girl pals were looking for something to smoke marijuana out of. My friend found her dad's old replica flintlock pistol. After wire brushing the powder residue out of the barrel and reaming up the flash hole with a paper clip, she piled some pot in the flash pan, put the barrel to her mouth, and touching a lighter to the pan, sucked in. An improvised and very scary pipe. The gun was something of a legend in her circle because, first of all, it was super freaky to put a gun barrel into your mouth. And second, she had taken a device that had only one purpose, to kill or injure another person, and seen it in a new way. Now the gun was for getting stoned, for fun, and seeing a lot more use than it ever had as a weapon. The repurposing of weapons has many famous precedents. The first manned rockets were basically modified ICBMs, or intercontinental ballistic missiles. NASA replaced the nuclear payloads with people. Wernher von Braun was himself repurposed, from Nazi scientist overseeing the slave labor construction of V-2 rockets to hero of NASA and architect of the Apollo missions to the moon. We can all repurpose. We can all see ourselves differently. I told the V-2 and ICBM story to a bunch of grad students I'd befriended at a computer conference in the 90s, complete with the cozy little repurposing moral, when an older dude stood up from a nearby table, came over, and introduced himself. He said he'd worked high up at NASA on this mission and that mission, laying out his credentials and getting the stars in our eyes. He then singled me out for an intense lambasting. NASA had no connection to the military. And so forth. My new grad student friends visibly shrank back from me. I had been spreading poison. I was astounded to have been singled out for offering what I felt was a message of hope. Looking back, that guy must have felt a lot of guilt. There must have been way more military overlap during his career than he could handle. Hence his strong reaction. The lady doth protest too much. Then there's the theory that Joe Sissel reminded me of, that the space program was a foil to get missile targeting super accurate, a weapons program hidden in plain sight. Even so, there's always an opportunity to flip the horror show. The masters of war might be hard at work, but we can subvert their efforts every single time. Fun and creativity always win, because you never want to give up. They are their own reward. Which brings us back to Uncle Joe, who shows up with glad tidings for Christina, that she is going to give birth to the daughter of God. Who is Uncle Joe, and what's he all about? Is he an angel from heaven? A weapon? Perhaps he's both, a repurposed weapon. Thinking about the characters is a huge part of editorial, who they are and what they want. What do I mean by storytelling? Storytelling is just another way of saying art. The facilitation of a complex, engaging, and persistent experience. By persistence, I mean memory. Movies are akin to paintings and music, in that it's all mediated experience, shading to memory. Virtuosic experience, vivid memories. Editorial assembles diverse media into a coherent whole. Much meaning and nuance is possible depending on how the bits are juxtaposed. Some choices are about what shots are technically excellent, performance, sound, focus, lighting, while others are based on how to convey something subtle or crucial. Imagine two chunks of adjacent footage. Say, a shot of Christina talking, followed by a shot of Jerry reacting. Even with matched cameras, the choice of where to make the cut will either knit their conversation together or blow it to pieces. Editorial choices trash or deepen the story. The version I had cut for festivals was slightly more than a rough cut, not nearly close to being complete. I was mildly disappointed, but not surprised, when the festival rejections started showing up. Eventually, rejections from every festival. Though the Terra Film Festival was nice enough to send a t-shirt. You've been listening to the Daughter of God cast, produced entirely behind enemy lines in the United States of America, where the resistance continues the epic adventure of bringing domestic democracy and justice for all. Thanks for tuning in. This is all about the making of the featurette Daughter of God, the longest little movie that Ines Schmolansky has ever worked for. And if she's listening out there somewhere, we'd like to send her a big hug. We'd like to send you all a big hug. Who is we? Well, me and Tigger. Date, August 23rd, 2006, to Carmen Althaus. What keeps me from passing dog to you is the legal work. After 4 months, I still don't have contracts for the cast and crew. My previous lawyer was a bad choice. He basically wasted my summer and billed me a lot. Live and learn. I have replaced him with another lawyer who should be able to expedite the project. She is cool.